You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. In this message, we learn how Simeon's song celebrates God's salvation for all.
All right, good evening, everyone. Good evening. Merry Christmas, everyone. Mayong Pasko po, kaninyong tanan. We are down to the last installment of our series called The Promise Fulfilled. We're looking at the different songs of Christmas, and today on Christmas Eve, we're going to have the last of these installments. It's quite fascinating because last Friday, Rian and I attended a birthday celebration of one of our elderly people here in this church. It was her 80th birthday. Imagine that 80th birthday. I don't know if you understand how important that is. People who are 80 years old and above, look at this one. I did my research last night. They are living in the time wherein they witnessed 13 presidents of the Philippines, including the first president of the Commonwealth, Manuel Quezon. They've also witnessed one world war and several other historic events in history. I have a point in sharing that. I don't know what it is with old people, but you know, whenever they speak, they always carry with them a weight of wisdom. You folks get what I'm talking about. If you're here and you are a millennial, you are an old millennial or a young millennial, we want to let you know that we are a church that's really for the next generation. But you know, we have a lot of older people in this church. So if you're here and you are 50-year-old and above, can you please probably wave your hand for a while? You're 50-year-old and above. Thank you for being a blessing to this ministry, to this church. We want to let you know that we are praying for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for your maintenance and all of those things that you're believing and praying to God for. So thank you for believing in the next generation, for being with us in Victory Dumaguete. Now, I'm sharing that simply because today, on Christmas Eve, we're going to look at the story of an elderly man who was a godly man, and his name is actually Simeon. He's actually a Christmas character, not the ones that whenever we think about Christmas, we think about the shepherds, we think about the angel Gabriel, Mary, Joseph. But you know, not too much is said about Simeon being a Christmas character. But we're going to look at his life today. We would learn from the scripture that, you know, he's actually someone who's advanced in age. It's quite fascinating. I'm trying to imagine this last night. Inisip ko, ano kaya itsura ni Simeon? Kasi Christmas character siya. And then during their time, Jewish people, they don't shave their beard. They let it grow according to the book of Leviticus. So if he's a Christmas character, old person, he has a beard. So that must be Simeon right there. Okay, that's supposed to be a joke. Okay, so you guys have to help me out, you know. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. This is the account of Simeon, a story wherein he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this one. It says here, at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 27, it says here, and he came in the spirit into the temple. And when Joseph and Mary brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, here's the song, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. In verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary's mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. few more verses. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. I think many of you know that the book of Luke was, of course, written by Dr. Luke to a man named Theophilus, who was becoming a Christian of sort, was coming to the faith. Luke made a study for him, a research for him. He basically came up with the Gospel of Luke. If there's one thing that you will have to observe with regards to the Gospel of Luke, you would come to understand that Luke, as a gospel, is actually a narrative. But more than that, it's also investigative in nature. I think that goes to show simply because Luke was a doctor. There's a precision in how it was written. And there are details that you can find in the book of Luke that you can find in the book of Matthew, Mark, or John. He was writing that for Theophilus, and he basically gave many details, specifically the story right here in Luke chapter 2. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to comb through these verses, all of these verses right here. And, you know, I trust that the Holy Spirit would speak into every single one of us. Let's understand the context first. Here's the context of this story. At the end of the 8 days, it says here, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Then it further says here in verse 22, and when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So what do we have here? We see here that the parents of Jesus, Joseph and Mary, brought him to the temple for the purification for Mary. And of course, this is like a baby dedication for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was going to be presented into the temple. So that is the story right here. I don't know if you've noticed this so far, but over the course of how many weeks of looking into this series, there's a pattern that we have to observe. 2 Sundays ago, if you were here with us, we've talked about the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the father and mother of John the Baptizer. Now, if there's one thing that we need to understand or that we have understood regarding Elizabeth and Zechariah, Bible says they were both what? Well advanced in years. Now, these are important characters in the story of Christmas or in the scripture as a whole, simply because we all understand that Zechariah and Elizabeth right here was the father and mother of John the Baptizer. So we also understand that John plays an important role because he was the forerunner for the Messiah. Okay, in short, John was the designated prophet for the designated Savior. You get a picture of that one? Okay, now, here's one thing that I want us to understand. We have Elizabeth and Zechariah was well advanced in years. They were old folks, old people. Now, together with that, look at this one. If they were old, and you understand that Zechariah burst into a celebratory song when he had a revelation of who Jesus was, all right? Now, together with that, tonight we're looking at the story of Simeon, and the song that we've seen a while ago is actually coming from Simeon. And see, you all understand, if you look at the chronology of that, Anna was an old person, the prophetess. Simeon was her contemporary. So meaning to say, Simeon right here is also an old person. So here's the question for us. Why is it that in the stories that we're looking at here, the stories that you can find in the first few chapters of Luke and the other Gospels, why is it that it was the older people who would burst into a celebratory song at the revelation of who Jesus was? Why is it that we're looking at the older people here? The simple answer to that is this one. It is simply because older folks, older people, they have been in pain the longest, more than any of us here. Maybe not the most, perhaps not the most, but the longest. What am I trying to say? Look at this one. In 63 BC, okay, there was a Roman general by the name of Pompey. Okay, he was elevated to the status of Magnus, meaning to say you are supreme. You're so good in battle, so good in logistics, you are the leader that everyone would want to be. Pompey right here laid siege of Jerusalem. Pompey led a battalion of the Roman army, and they laid siege of Jerusalem. Now, look at this one. This is important. This is history. This is 63 BC. Now, the Jewish people tried to fight back, but of course, they wouldn't win to a superior army. So as a result, the Jewish people saw 12,000 people in casualty. All right? Now, if our chronology is right, if Anna right here, the story of Jesus, is 84 years old, Simeon is a contemporary of Anna. So it gives us a picture that on 63 BC, Simeon was still a small boy when he has witnessed the atrocities of war. Now, here's the thing. A lot of us here, or maybe most of us here, are post-war people. There are things that older folks understand, become emotional with, that we will never understand. That is why the moment they had a revelation of who Jesus is, they burst into a celebratory song. Why? Because they have been looking forward to this day. Let's look at the account of Simeon for a while. It says in verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." So it gives us a picture that this man is from Jerusalem. Simeon actually means God hears. The Bible says he was from Jerusalem. And here's one fascinating thing that we'll have to understand about Simeon. When we look at the story of Zechariah, we said Zechariah was a temple insider because he was a priest. On the contrary, Simeon right here is not an insider in the temple. He was not a priest of any sort. So meaning to say, Simeon was an ordinary man just like you and me. It's just that he would always frequent the temple. You folks know what I'm talking about. He just loves being in the presence of other people who are temple goers. Take note of that. Simeon was an ordinary man. He's not holding any position of any sort. He was not a priest unlike Zechariah. Look at this. The Bible says this man was righteous and devout, kind of like the person seated beside you. By faith. He was righteous and devout. Now, let's try to talk about that for a while. Look at this one. What distinguished Simeon was not his position, but his godliness. What set him apart was his godliness. It's not because he was a priest or something like. Let's try to talk about Simeon for a while. The Bible says he was righteous and devout. Let's try to talk about his righteousness. Now, in our generation right now, the age of grace, we are recipients of God's mercy, recipients of God's grace. If I look at Ryan, if I look at Martin, these are righteous men by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross. Meaning to say, Jesus' righteousness has been imputed on us. So whenever God looks at you are a righteous person by virtue of what Christ has done on the cross, thank God for that. Amen. That is why it's easy for us to say that, you know, I am a righteous person, and that is what? That is an internal affirmation of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, if you're talking about the generation of Simeon, it couldn't be that way. For someone to say that you're righteous now, it's easy to say that. Okay, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, surrender your life to the Lord. As long as you're a Christian, you are a righteous person. If you're looking at the generation of Simeon, it's different. For someone to call you righteous, it is not an internal affirmation. It is an external testimony of the people around you. Meaning to say, people will call you righteous if you live a righteous life. That is why for the scripture to mention explicitly that this person is a righteous person, it gives us a picture that every single person around him could attest to the fact that this is a God-honoring man. He wasn't just righteous. Bible says he was devout, meaning to say he has a deep religious commitment. Devout simply means he has a deep religious commitment. In short, Simeon right here treasured a godly life. He's someone who doesn't drag himself to church. He's someone who would love being in the presence of God. He's someone who exhibits spiritual disciplines. And because of all of these things, God basically laid eyes on him and caused him to have all of this revelation. He wasn't just righteous. He wasn't just devout. The Bible says Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation here simply means comfort. I told you a while ago, you know, 63 BC, when the Roman army occupied Jerusalem and killed so many people, at a young age, his batchmates, they have been looking forward to the day when the Messiah will come. They're looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Another thing that we can understand about Simeon is he wasn't just righteous, he wasn't just devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Not just that, the Bible says he was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon him. In fact, I would rather have this for all of you to take home later and look at the account of Simeon, Luke chapter 2. You would come to understand, if you read through the verses, down to verse 40, you would come to understand that the Holy Spirit was mentioned 10 times. Meaning to say, whenever scripture, Luke chapter 2, mentions the name of Simeon, the Holy Spirit is always attached to that name. Which gives us a picture, friends, that Simeon right here, this elderly person, okay, who has been walking in the counsel of the Lord, Simeon was a man deeply influenced and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, look at this one in verse 25. It says here, the Holy Spirit was upon him. What are some evidence of the close communion that he had with the Holy Spirit? Look at this one. This is quite funny. This is verse 26. It says here, okay, the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not die until the time he gets to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you get fascinated with that. All of us here in this room, we die at one point in our life. We die, then we see Jesus. For Simeon, he sees Jesus, then he dies. That's quite odd, right? Lord, if that is a gift, I like that gift. You know why? Because you can eat lechon in the morning. You can eat lechon for snacks. You can eat humba for lunch. Your wife comes to you and tells you, hey, you're killing yourself. I will not die. Because you just know for a fact that I will only die the moment I see the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that Simeon was like that. He understood that he's going to die the moment he gets to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit himself. At least that's what the Bible teaches us. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says here, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Verse 27 of Luke chapter 2, it says here, he came in the Spirit into the temple, meaning to say, it was the Holy Spirit who led him into the temple. Now here's the thing, if you would try to imagine this narrative right here, if you just try to look at how the story played out, it gives me a picture that Simeon, despite his age, if you're an old person, you're familiar with arthritis. You're familiar with rheuma. It's not always easy to go around as much as the younger ones here, the younger people. You know, they could go wherever they want to go. But to a certain extent, if you're an old person, you're kind of limited. It gives me a picture that, you know, Simeon right here, he would always frequent the temple. Take note, why? Why would we always frequent the temple? He would always frequent the temple because always looking forward, as what the Bible says, for the consolation of the Lord. Meaning to say, every single day, as much as he could, he would look at every single family. He would bring about babies. And he would be asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is this the one? And the Holy Spirit tells him, that's not the one. Okay, Holy Spirit, is this the one? Suddenly, you know, Joseph and Mary come. They would enter the temple, asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, is this the Holy Spirit? Now look at this one. This is quite crazy because in verse 28, it says here, the moment he saw Joseph, Mary, look at this one, Joseph, Mary, and Mary and Joseph had Jesus with them. They were entering into the temple. Look at what Simeon did. Bible says he took him up in his arms, kidnapped for the parents. Can you imagine a stranger coming up to you and takes your child from you? The Bible basically teaches us that Simeon scoops it from their arms. And then he starts blessing God upon having the baby in his hands. Meaning to say he has seen the hope that he has been waiting for. After that, he burst into a celebratory song. A couple of things that I've outlined, things that we could learn about this specific story, about Christmas. And one of that is this one. Christmas is a celebration of God's promised salvation. The thing with Simeon was that the moment he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew for a fact that this was the one that God has anointed. I want us to understand, when you celebrate Christmas, we have to understand why we're celebrating it. What is the celebration about? Is this just because of the reunion? Is this just because of the party? It is the celebration of the promised salvation of God himself. Look at this one. Here's what he said. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. How does it translate in our generation right now? For some of you ladies, you see your crush, what do you tell your friends? I can now faint. Right? For Simeon right here, he said, I can depart in peace because I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's start talking about this for a while. If you remember, there's the word peace again. When the host of angels appeared before the shepherd, they said something to the shepherd, said, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to the man to whom he is pleased. Now take note of this one. When he had the Lord Jesus Christ on his arms, he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. To a certain extent, it's like saying, now I can rest in peace. But let's start talking about that peace for a while. That peace right there doesn't mean that Jesus is here. Yes, he's going to restore a lot of things. But guess what? It doesn't mean that it's going to bring about happiness and prosperity all the time. Okay? Because sometimes that is our notion of what peace is all about. How do we say that? Because look at this one. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all the people. Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, look at this one. If this is the peace that we all know of, Simeon starts saying, Mary, behold, this child of yours will cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. That is not a good news. That's not an easy thing to say to a mother of a child. You're giving a prophetic word that a lot of people will stumble because of the life of this child. So meaning to say, the peace that we're talking about here is simply the fact that Simeon's peace is in the assurance that God keeps his word. Take note of this one. They've been waiting for this day for hundreds of years. A lot of people have come and passed. A lot of people died. And they haven't seen a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take note of the years of oppression. Take note of the 400 silent years that God wasn't speaking through a prophet during their time. And now here comes the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace here was saying that, Lord, you answer your promises. So look at this one. A secular mathematician would start saying, you know, one person fulfilling 8 prophecies, that is basically what, 1 in 100, whatever that is. One person fulfilling 48 prophecies, that's one chance in 10 to the 157th power. One person fulfilling 300 plus prophecies about him, only Jesus. It can only happen through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, this Christmas time, I want you to understand that God is a promise keeper. Friends, a lot of you are coming, bringing with you some promises from your friends, and sometimes you don't trust God simply because some relationships were broken, promises were given to you, unfulfilled promises. At the end of the day, anyone can make a promise. God is great at keeping them. Take note of this. What is that in your life that God has promised breakthrough that will not happen if he has basically answered the promised salvation for every single one of us? Isaiah chapter 52, verse 10, it says here, the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The second thing that we can understand here is this one. You know, Christmas is a celebration of God's promised adoption. What are we talking about? Look at this one. In verse 30, it says here, Lord, for my eyes have seen your salvation. That it starts saying in verse 31, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Now look at this one. It says here, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now every single Jewish person during their time are fixated with only one thing. And that is what? They all think when the Messiah comes, he will restore the glory of Israel. What are we talking about here? Look at this. We're talking about a nation that's been oppressed by different nations. The hope that they have in their mind is that one day the Messiah will come and is going to restore the glory of our nation. So every single Jewish person right there, okay, during their time, are just fixated in their own nation. But when Christ comes, I want you to understand this, as mentioned in verse 32, the Christ has a twofold task. And that is what? To restore the glory of Israel and to bring about revelation to the Gentiles. I don't know how much you appreciate that, but come to think of this. You know, sometimes we become familiar with all of these things, you know, being a Christian, being here every single Sunday, worshiping God together in a church committee like this one. But come to think of this. We all understand that God's chosen people is a nation of Israel. Much of the promises were spoken for Israel. I don't know with you, but the Bible is very clear. That mercy right here overflows from Israel to the Gentile world. And that includes you and me. The reason why you're here is because God chose to adopt you into his family. And we thank God. You know, Christmas is a celebration of that promised adoption. Alam niyo po, sa totoo lang, we're not supposed to be in that circle. We're not supposed to be here worshiping God. We're not supposed to be seeing relationships get restored by the grace of God. But this is God's grace extended to us as his adopted people. Christmas is a celebration of God's promised adoption. You know, the fascinating thing here is how God basically accomplished that. And that is basically the third thing that I want us to understand. You know, Christmas is a celebration of God's sovereign will. In what sense? Look at this one, friends. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary's mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of men in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. Now look at this one. I don't know if someone ever prophesied over you. A prophetic team would come here. Some of our prophetic people would come and they would prophesy over you. They would pray for you. Much of the time, when they prophesy over you, you're talking about what? Words of encouragement. You're going to be a mighty warrior in the kingdom of God. You're going to accomplish this. God is going to do this to you. Now here comes Simeon bursting into a celebratory song. Lord, I can now depart because I have seen, Lord, your promised salvation. A light of revelation, Lord, for the Gentile world. Even for our enemies. And glory, Lord, towards Israel. Then after saying that, after bursting in a celebratory song, he looks at Mary and starts saying to Mary, Mary, behold, this child of yours, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many Israel and for a sign that is opposed,
And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What is my point here, friends? Christmas is a celebration of God's promised salvation. Thank God for that. The big question there is this one. How did God accomplish that? How did God accomplish, you know, bringing in the Gentile world into the saving knowledge of who He is? Christmas is a celebration of His sovereign will. My point here is this one. During the trial of Jesus Christ, if His own people did not mock Him, then we will not be saved. If there were no persecution, because His message was rejected in His own place, then His message was brought to the Gentile world. And that, my friends, is the reason why you are here today, worshiping God for who He is, worshiping Him for what He has done in our life. It says here further, Jesus comes so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. At the end of the day, it is only through humility that we will accept His message of grace. It is only through humility that we will accept His message of salvation. If we are proud enough to reject this, then at the end of the day, we will not be found to be the recipient of His promised adoption, His promised salvation, and His sovereign will. We thank God for what He has done, and hope and pray that, you know, as we celebrate Christmas Eve this evening, we will gather with our friends, we will gather with our families, and we will reflect on verses like, you know, Luke chapter 2, the story of Christmas, and come to imagine questions like, what would your life be if God had not intervened? When Ryla, Jether, and Kate were singing here, these kids were toddlers. I don't know about you, but you know, when I became a Christian, for some reason, Holy Night becomes a different song to me. When someone comes to you and sings joy to the world, it brings a different message. Sometimes it moves you to tears. Before you became a Christian, what were your Christmas song? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Mama Kissing Santa Claus, and stuff like that. But now, things are different because you are a saved person. Thank God, the baby was born in a manger, grew up to be a man, and accomplished and fulfilled His prophetic destiny, that died on the cross to save you and me.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.